Well, hello again. This is Mace Haroff, and welcome to the Medical Sales Guru Podcast, the free weekly podcast for medical sales professionals. You may have heard some talk about the economy. In fact, your own economy may have been impacted. I get a lot of calls from medical sales professionals who are very concerned about the economy because their business is down, their customers aren't buying like they did previously, and many of them are looking for new jobs, even thinking about leaving the career altogether. So what do you do in this economy? First of all, if you have any crazy ideas about doing something else, changing careers, or even doing something drastically different than what you've been doing, first, you need to sit down and analyze what it is you've been doing. If you're working in the medical industry, if you're selling medical equipment, medical supplies, med-surg, you're in one of the best, most solid industries in any economy. That's not to say that it hasn't been impacted by the current economy, because some sectors of this industry have been. But the bottom line is, there are not many other places you can go where you're going to have the stability that is offered in this industry. Now, I know some of you are listening to this and saying, hey, Mace, you know, my business is fine. We're doing better than we've ever done. This is the best year ever. And some others are saying, this sucks. This is the worst time I've ever had. I'm going broke. I'm not making any money. I'm ready to quit. So which are the segments of the industry that have really been impacted? For the most part, it's been the capital equipment industry. If you're selling capital equipment, hospital beds, stretchers, lights, expensive high-end surgical equipment, MRI machines, you know what I'm talking about. Hospitals have pulled back. Now, some of it's real and some of it is not. One thing that is very real is that hospitals have been impacted by the economy just like the rest of us. Hospital revenues are down because people can't pay their bills. So the accounts receivable for the hospital are adding up. Also, hospitals have been impacted by investments that they make with their money just like everybody else. The return on investments that they have outstanding are down. And finally, hospitals depend on money from banks and other lending institutions to buy the equipment that they need. That is not as easily available as it has been in the past. So if you're selling capital equipment, you're probably feeling some of the impact of this. What if you're not selling capital equipment? Let's say that you're selling medical disposables, and this could range from the run-of-the-mill, generic, commodity-type disposables, such as Band-Aids and IV tubing, things like that, all the way up to high-cost disposables, what I like to call high-end disposables, such as pacemakers and orthopedic implants. Some of you are probably saying, well, the economy has affected me because the hospitals don't want to pay as much for these products as they have in the past. And that may be true. But let me share with you that when it comes to disposables, hospitals have always wanted to pay less. I was in the disposables business for over 25 years and still continue to work with a lot of companies in that segment of the industry. And I can tell you that hospitals have always been looking for a lower price. It's what they do. If the margins get tight, what the hospitals do is they look to squeeze any of the vendors that they can. And the easiest places to go to are to those vendors that they're using the most, and that usually means disposable equipment. Try to get a better price. So this isn't anything new. I'm not saying that it's not real, but it certainly isn't anything new. So let's back up and take a look at what you need to do if you sell any type of medical products that have been impacted by the economy. First of all, don't stop doing what it is that you've been doing that has made you successful in the first place. Keep selling. If for no other reason, it's your job. Now, I get calls from sales representatives, and what they're doing is they're spending more time at home. Some of them will even get frustrated after not having any sales, especially people in the capital equipment end. Last week, for example, I spoke to a salesperson named Betty after the group coaching call that I do with her company. And she just needed someone to talk to. She was telling me how frustrated she is that her customers haven't been buying. She can't even get in to see her customers that she's known for years. They won't let her in the office. I said, so Betty, what did you do? She said, you know what I did? I went to a movie. And I just want to explode, but of course, because these people are paying me to help them, we look at the problem, we look at the situation, and we look at what it is they can do. So let's talk about you. What is it that you can do? The most important thing you could do in any selling situation, despite the economy, is to stay in front of the customer. Now, I could hear some of you saying, but Mace, you know, that's really hard. I mean, how many times can I keep going back and saying, well, are you ready to buy? Are things improving? Has money become available? Well, if those are the things that you're doing, of course you don't want to go back because the customer doesn't want to see you. If the customer's perception is that he or she cannot do business with a particular salesperson at this time, then why would he or she want to see that salesperson? The way to get in front of these customers, though, is not to continually make product pitches, but to find other ways that you can add value to their life and their jobs. So how do you do that? You do it by continuing to be an expert in your industry. Study what successful accounts are doing in terms of their abilities to be able to acquire equipment. How are they doing it? Is it being done through special or creative financing? Are they trading in pieces of equipment or selling it to other countries through vendors to work out some sort of trade-in arrangement or pre-sale agreement for the equipment that they have? I'm just thinking out loud. But what you need to be able to do is to continue to be a value to your customers. You see, when you call on them and continue to call on them regularly, don't just call on them, but contact them. You know, call them on the phone. Send them an email if that's what you're doing. And one of my rules is always to not send emails without permission, because if you do, what is it called? It's called spam. So make sure you have permission to send emails. But keep in touch with your customers and make the contact about them, not just about you and your products. Perhaps send them an article. Let them know how other people in their specialties are succeeding. You see, one thing that medical sales professionals have a habit of doing, salespeople in general, is to always make the sales calls about them. So let me ask you, Charlie, is the money becoming available, or do you see a date when you're going to be able to buy again? And what you're saying is, Charlie, I need to sell something, so can you help me out here? Don't do that. Make the call about your customer. Make it about Charlie. Charlie, I came across this article, and I think it applies very much to your situation. Here's what one of your colleagues is doing to ride out this economy and keep the hospital flush. Those are the type of things that when you go to Charlie, in other words, go to your customers about, they're happy to see you. Now, is this going to pay your mortgage? Is this going to put food on your table? Not immediately. But keep in mind that this economy is not going to last forever. In fact, it is not lasting forever. Many segments are already turning around. And when your customers are ready to buy, you want them to be thinking about you. And if you've stayed on their radar screen throughout this entire tough economic time, you're going to be the person that they call. Speaker and sales trainer Patricia Fripp says it best. It is not your customer's job to remember you and remember what you do. That's your job. You need to stay in front of your customers, adding value to their lives every month, so that when they are ready to buy, they know who you are, they know what you do, and they already have the relationship with you that inspires confidence in doing business with you. Now, much of our conversation so far has been applicable to the capital equipment market. Let me just finish up by talking about the disposables market one more time. If your customers are buying their medical supplies, their implants, and other disposables from someone else, it's your fault. Yeah, it's your fault. The reason? Because they see what you sell as just a commodity. If you cannot differentiate your product from anyone else's product, if they all do the same thing, then it's a commodity. So if you have distinct competitive advantages or other advantages with your product and your customers don't know what they are, that's your fault. The other thing that's your fault is if they don't perceive there to be more value with your product than the competitor's product. That's your fault. You have to be able to differentiate value. And finally, if they don't see more value in doing business with you than the competitor, then that's your fault. You might not feel like it is, but I hate to tell you, The bottom line is you. You're your company and your company's products to your customer. Only you can make their perception different and better. So in this economy, stay in front of your customers, keep doing what you're doing, and sell the concept of value. Will some of your customers always buy based on price alone? Yes, they will if you let them. But remember, you need to get your customers to look at the big picture. And there are essentially three reasons why your customers will pay attention to what it is that you're selling. This, of course, assuming you're talking to the right person and not just the clerk in purchasing. But when you're talking to the end user or someone who has a bigger stake in the products, in the overall operation of the hospital, someone like the CFO, the CEO, the risk manager, in all of my programs, we focus on the three things that will get the C-level executives and the doctors to open up their doors to you. If your product can do any of those things, and you're able to have the conversations with the right people, you're going to have them open their ears and their offices to you because these are the things that drive their business and why they do what they do. Don't let this economy pull you down. It won't last forever, and there are plenty, I repeat, plenty of opportunities right now. Many of the medical sales professionals that I talk to are having the best year they have ever had. If you would like to have me help you achieve your medical sales objectives by presenting at your next event or having a mastering medical sales workshop at your sales meeting or even arranging a performance improvement webinar or phone conference for your sales force, give me a call. All of my programs are tailored to your product, your service, and your customer type. So you don't have to do this alone. Let's discuss how I can help you and your sales team take business from the competition. You can reach me at 561-333-8080. Again, the number is 561-333-8080. Thank you for joining me this week on the Medical Sales Guru podcast. And if you have a question or topic or anything that's on your mind that you would like me to discuss in an upcoming podcast, please email it to me at mace@medicalsalestraining.com. And as you put your best sales effort forward today, remember to stay focused on the customer and the patient, because in the end, nothing is more important than taking care of the patient. Have a great week selling. Bye for now.